God is so good. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we enter into this time, Lord, we just want to be pleasing to you and honor you, Lord, lift you up. Lord, fill us today with your word. Get us ready. Get us ready. Amen. Amen. So today, first service of 2026. Said, could 2026 be the year to launch out deeper with God? I thought of this last week back, and God took me back to the pondering time. We need to ponder, like Mary pondered, the things that the shepherds shared, the shepherds. Prior to that, we had spoken about being overshadowed, as the angel of the Lord overshadowed Mary. And we spoke along that line of God overshadowing us today. Last week of that pondering, that what God has shown us, what God is getting us ready for, we too have to ponder that same thing, like what Mary would have done with what the shepherds were saying and trying to make sense of that and understand that. And I didn't know if we were going to go back into that a little bit more today with the pondering, but it didn't come that way. And God told me, or I sensed from God, I guess, to go ahead, because this is where I was looking at a couple of weeks back. And launching out deeper with God. Now, before I get there, this is a word that had been given to the church by a very faithful prayer person, prayer warrior, kind of like the mother of the church back in the day. She was here at the beginning of the church and poured herself into it and supportive of the pastor and the things that were taking place. And she was a prayer warrior. She was an intercessor. She had her time before God a lot. And we've said and read this sometime back, but I came across it in somewhere in my paperwork, and I read it, and I thought, well, I'm going to bring it out for the year of 2026, because this was written October of 2020. So 20 years ago, right? Or 25 years ago. Yeah, 25 years ago. And many of us have that same question today. I have, we all have, all God's children have, right? And so she went before the Lord and she says, I asked the Lord, why are we not growing? You said you are to add to the church daily. And this is what he said. And she had underlined he. He said, my timing is not your timing. I am preparing the harvesters as well as those who will be harvested. I'm preparing the harvesters, people that go out to harvest, and he's preparing those to be harvested. And it goes on to say, as he spoke to her in the Spirit, watch and pray and keep yourself ready for a divine appointment. Keep the leadership in prayer that they will hear my voice and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to this body of believers. They will come. Be ready. Short and sweet. Be ready. So I look at that 25 years ago. My timing is not his timing. His timing is not mine. And so we have to rest on that, right? We got to get to that point to where we don't want to look in what we see as, well, this is it, no more, you know, ain't coming no more, or this is it, be happy. But God has a timing. And I think that's where I began to look at this for 2026, and I think you'll see it on our slide up there, right? In 2026, launch out into the deep. It's going to require you, me, us, corporately, us, you, individually, because God has got some great plans for you, for this new year. And I pray that we all find those things fulfilled. I pray that we all step into what God has planned and prepared from the foundation of time for the very time of this year, especially for you and what He has planned especially for you. Isn't that exciting that we are all on this time and this frame of going forth? And what is it, God, that you've got? So we're going to look at this in Luke 5. Let's just go to Luke 5. We're going to read a little bit here. And then we will kind of look at it and break it out a little. We all know the story, but we got to read it again. Chapter 4 is when Satan tempts Jesus. So he comes through that. And then Jesus is rejected at Nazareth. And now Peter's mother-in-law is healed. Many are healed after the Sabbath sunset. Now we get into chapter 5. Prior to that, in chapter 4 of 42, it would be where Jesus is preaching in Galilee. But in verse 5, it starts here, or chapter 5, I'm sorry. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and says to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Wow. Verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." And so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. There's a lot in there, isn't there? A lot. In verse 2, and he saw the two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. The fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, they would use nets. The type of net used would usually be a bell-shaped net with lead weights around the edges. The net would be thrown flat out into the water, and the weights, of course, would cause the net to sink down and gather around the fish below the surface. And then the fishermen, they would pull on a cord and drawing that net around the fish, they would draw those fish up. After that was done, they'd get to shore, and the nets had to be kept in good condition. So after a night of fishing, they would be there cleaning them and removing any weeds. And they would also be looking for areas of the net that needed to be repaired, to be prepared to go back out the next night. You certainly don't want a net with a hole in it if you're catching fish by a net, do you? So you got to keep it prepared. You got to keep it in top-notch order to be able to fulfill what you're wanting to do. Now we get to verse 7. So this is just a little bit of thought process of these fishermen are on the shore and they're cleaning these nets, and Jesus has come to them and now he's making some comments with them. We find in verse 7, very interesting, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come out to help them, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. How many fish would it take to sink the boats, huh? It has been estimated that this was a catch of nearly 1 ton of fish. How's that, Ed? You ever caught that many at one? a ton of fish. This would be the amount that they would normally have caught in about a two-week period. A two-week period going out every night, fishing, coming back, their haul, they would have then probably at the end of about 2 weeks, about a ton of fish. This was done pronto, instantly. The timing of this large catch was even more interesting because it was in the daytime and not the nighttime when most of the fishing was done and when most of the fish would be caught. What is Jesus doing here as we read this? It's kind of like when we came out of Sunday school area talking about crossing over the Jordan and things like that, is that God does things to make you pay attention. It's not just a mediocre, half kind of like a miracle. It's like, well, that could have happened to anybody. No, when God has your attention and when God wants to speak something into your life for a change of your life, for a fulfillment of your life, He is going to probably do it in such a way that it's going to be astounding. And you're going to wonder how you got there. The thing we find with Simon, he's saying, well, we've toiled all night. We've done everything that we could do for naught. But you're wanting us to go back where we were or out in that area, but we didn't catch anything. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Folks, you're going to have to let down your net. And let this be the year that you let down your net. Let this be the year that you experience. We would look at it as a harvest. They had a harvest of fish. We could look at it as a harvest of people coming into the kingdom of God. But we need to let our net down. We need to do something the miraculous for God to bring about what He has for us to do. And it's whether it's in ministry, whether it's just in obeying Him, following Him, being more filled with Him, right? Giving Him more of your time. Whatever it is, it's going to be different for everyone that sits in this room, but it's going to require you to be obedient, to hear the word of the Lord, and to follow it, and don't come in with the buts. Oh, but God. I did that 5 years ago, or oh, but God, we tried that, or oh, but God, I thought I was, oh, no, you can't, oh, but God things. God is saying these things now for a specific time, and what better time than we get into a new season, a new year, a new month, a new day, because we enter that, even in 2025, 2024, whatever the case is, every day is a new day with God. Old things have passed away. All things become new. So it doesn't matter if you're in 2025 or 2026 or whatever the case is. But it's one of these things that I felt compelled in my spirit to say, folks, 2026 is new. We're only 4 days into it. God has something miraculous for you. And I hope you're obedient. And I hope you lower your net. And don't say, we've already done this before. I don't think it's worth doing it again. Because this could be the pivotal time for God in your life. Our focus scripture, as you can tell, is when He had stopped speaking, He spoke to Simon to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for that harvest. When we look at verse 8, Simon, Peter, saw it. He fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. We find here Peter's doubts about Jesus' fishing abilities progress to the doubts about himself. Jesus walks up there. He wasn't a fisherman. He told them to do the miraculous that they had already been doing. They were seasoned fishermen. They knew how to fish. They knew the timing. They knew the bait. They knew how to work the nets. They knew where the... This was back before, guys, they had fish finders. Our fishermen of the day, they're... I don't know if they're really fishermen or not. They're just fish finders. You know? Follow the beep on the thing. There's a school of them. There's one right down there. I'm going to get here, bite my hook. What little I've fished, which I'm not a fisherman, but years back I went out with Pastor several times because he liked to fish. And I don't understand it, how I could be on this side of the boat getting nothing, and he could be on that side of the boat getting fish. I don't understand it, how the bow and the stern or whatever, you know, we're at. The front bumper and the back bumper. That's technical nautical talk. Fish are there, but no fish here. Well, let me come up there where you're at. I'll take that, by golly, you got fish here. Okay, you're on that part of it, and I'm on this part. I'm sitting there waiting. He's over here just... It's like, am I doing something wrong? We're using the same bait. It's those things that mystify me. It's like, I'm sure fish can sense that I got the same worm that he's got. It's just like 5 feet apart, you know. We're at the same depth. We're at whatever. I'm wiggling it up. Okay, make it look like it's alive. Boop, 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 boop. So these are seasoned fishermen. They're not like me. Like, I would take the advice of anybody. Help me out. I don't know. What am I doing wrong? They were skilled at their trade. They knew how to do it. They had the equipment. They had the experience. But God said, I know you didn't catch anything. And I would imagine God set them up. Because maybe the night before they had probably pretty good catching. Maybe, I don't know, we're just thinking about this. But they get out there, what, at 10 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I don't know, when they go night fishing. And even before they got there that night, the power of God took all the fish away. Or he fed the fish so they weren't hungry or they weren't in that area. Whatever the case is, they were just toiling, toiling, toiling. Anybody here been toiling? For naught. I've been doing this and it didn't happen. What's going on? Well, then let Jesus get into your boat. And he's going to take you back out. And but you're going to say, but I've been there, done it. Tell me something different, Lord. He's going to tell you the same thing that he's going to say. Go now, but launch out into the deep and let your net down. So why did the Lord tell him to launch out to the deep? Peter's a master fisherman. When Jesus instructed him to take his boat out to the deep during the daytime, when normally you don't fish in the daytime, I mean, we're already beginning to build up a lot of things saying, they ain't going to work. Okay, so be it. We'll do it, but it ain't going to happen. He was asking him to do the complete opposite of what his years of experience has taught him. See, when God gets into your life, you might be wise in the things of this life. You might be wise in your job and in your career and all the things that you're able to do. But God is going to come into that time, and he's going to ask you to do something that you would personally say, I've tried it and it doesn't work, so I'm not going to do it again. Uh-oh, disobedience now. We don't want to get there. But it's interesting how God will come in and do those things. Jesus wants to show us today, you, this year, whatever the day, year, time is, a new way to live that goes beyond your knowledge, your experiences, your expertise. He's wanting to take you further out from the shore. He's wanting you to throw that net on the opposite side of what you had been doing all these years. We get into a habit, and we just do the same thing all the time. He's going to take us out. He's going to show us this year things that, that we know already. Or we thought we know already, but we don't. We don't know the workings of God and what he does. The phrase is symbolizing stepping beyond comfort zones. We are hard to leave the comfort of where we feel comfortable at. We want to stay where you're used to it. You can pretty well predict it. You know what's coming. You know how to handle it if something odd comes differently than that, but I can handle it because I'm comfortable here and I've got my resources. I can handle these things. No, we've got to step beyond our comfort zone. We've got to get to that point of trusting the Word of God. The Word of God, the very Word of God, whether it's in the Old Testament, New Testament, that we can glean from, that we can learn from, to where others had been instructed and we can read how they fulfilled or how they obeyed and what happened when they obeyed and what happened when they disobeyed. So we've got kind of like a step up on a lot of these guys in the Bible, right? Because we can read it and say, I don't want to be like him. I want to follow what that person did. I want to follow what Joshua did with following that of the word of the Lord, to follow that of the Ark of the Covenant. So, launch out into the deep. It's symbolizing stepping beyond comfort zones, trusting God's word over experience, entering a deeper commitment to your faith. You're going to stretch your faith. You need to build up your faith muscles. We all know it. We're going to increase our faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance or the realization of things hoped for, the evidence or the confidence of things not seen. They didn't see the fish in the water. How far down, I don't know. But we as well need, and God wants us to, increase our faith, stretch our faith, rely upon your faith to get you through it, right? But it's going to be the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. That's that of faith. It's often interpreted as a spiritual growth, doing things for that of God. And who knows what we're going to do for God in 2026, but only God, right? We're kind of coming out of 2025 and kind of bouncing out of the holidays and trying to get, okay, everything's getting on track now. We're going to, a few more days, we'll be getting into the things of 2026, you know, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and start getting ourselves going. We're departing from the shore and we're heading out into the deep from the shore of, you know, 2025 to 2026. We're going. We got to be ready, though. You got to be willing to take instruction from that of God. Other verses like Psalms 139:8. Let's see. Psalms 139:8. I'm going to start at 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, that you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, or you have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, lay your hand upon us this year. Hedge around us, protection, guidance, protection, little Father. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall upon me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearful and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your words, and that my soul knows very well. Verse 15, my frame, my bones. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet uniformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. The days fashioned for me when yet there were none of them. God knows where you're going, guys. Even before you were coming and birthed into this world, God already had the plan and the direction and knew where you would be this very day right here. Isn't that awesome? Wow! How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. The verses like that of Psalm we just read speaks of God's presence in the deepest places, showing his all-encompassing reach. So as we are into this life and this year and this new year, is he not there with us? Is he not there going with us? Is he not having a plan for us to hold on to? It might seem unattainable to us, but to God it's attainable. And God will attain it, and you will attain what he has for you. It just takes the obedience to get back in your boat after a hard day's work at night and go back out so he can minister to the people on shore. And then he says, now let's go out and do some fishing. Cast out, launch out into the deep. And throw that net over this boat. This deep, launching out, moving beyond the familiar to the unknown, requires faith, courage, trust in God. Do you have trust in God for your new year? To explore deeper things of God, to go further like that of the Starship Enterprise. To go where no man has gone before. To go in your walk with God where you have not gone before. All of this in the past 2025 to 2024, back. Those were all preparation years for the year of 2026. And if the Lord tarries and you continue to go forth in 2026, 2027 is coming up too. And we're going to keep marching on, amen? We're going to keep looking forward, and we're going to be with anticipation, expectation, excitement, vim, and vigor to go with God. Don't rest on your laurels and say, it's been good, I'm just going to sit back now. There is no sitting back for God. You had better be on the front line. You better be ready to go. You better be watching. Watching. Listening. Attentive to God's voice, even attentive to God's thoughts for you. And he will speak to you this way through the Holy Spirit. He will speak to you through his word. He will speak to you somehow. Whatever he wants to get across to you, he will get across to you. You just need to be waiting and ready. Some of the military things and whatnot you'd hear, lock and load it, man. You better be lock and loaded for God, ready to go at any time. It's not going to, you know, when he says go, better go. There won't be any of this, well, I got to get this ready, I got to get that ready, well, I need to do, no. He's going to say, you should have been ready. you should have been ready. You're a child of mine. I've been preparing you for a time such as this. You need to heed my words. Be ready. So if you're not ready today, get ready by tomorrow. Amen? Get closer to him. Open up to him. Cry out to him. Reach up to him. Here am I, Lord. Here am I. What was that song we had here? Go back to the slides real quick. That last one, I think it was. Yeah. Let the words of my mouth be pleasing to you. Let the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Oh, Lord, you are my strength. Oh, Lord, you are my redeemer. I've been redeemed. Redeemed, redeemed. Okay. I don't know, what's the next slide? It probably is, whatever's true, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely or worthy, ponder. Oh, there you go, ponder. Thank you, Linda. Ponder on these things. Think, ponder on these things. The Word of God is telling us today, this message is to ponder on these things of God that He's speaking into your spirit this very hour, this very minute, this very second. Be alert, be actively hooked up to Him by the Spirit. Does it change after that? I can't remember. And then let our words of our mouth please you, Lord. That's how you get closer and closer and closer to God. Let the words of my mouth please you, Lord. And as I please him with my words, I believe he will draw even much, much closer to me as I draw much, much closer to him. So when he gets in my boat this year, he's going to say, Tim, we're going. We've got this planned. I've got it planned. But Lord, I've been here for 20 some odd years now. This 2026 will be 20 years in July that I've been the pastor here, Lord. I've not seen a proliferation of the walls expanding out. I've not seen this and this and that and all the things naturally that we want to look at so that I could easily get into that boat and say, Lord, hey, where have you been? And the Lord would say, I've been right here with you all this time, Tim. Preparation times, season times. It's not for you to know the time and the things that I have planned. All I'm looking for is a willing vessel. Somebody that doesn't get discouraged. Somebody that doesn't say, well, I don't see it happening. I'm washing my hands of it. We're just going to go on into the sweet by and by. No, I don't understand it either. But I know I understand enough of my God that he has got a plan. Oh, he's got the plan. But God has the plan. Certainly he's got the time. He's got the power, the energy, whatever. He's just looking for us to come along to say, here I am. And I'm going to trust you, God. And I'm going to go with you, God. And I'm not going to look at the situations in the natural, although I am a natural person and I see these things, but I see the blessings of God and how things have been sustainable all of these years from a little small church out here in the cornfield, that what God has done financially and continues to roll finances in here and there and through opportunities of areas. I don't understand it, but God does. But if God has told you to do something, he will supply the need. He will supply the power. He will supply the strength. He will supply the peace. He will supply, supply, supply. God is a supplying God. He will supply it. How did those fish happen to be in that part of the lake? And he says, cast out into the deep. And I don't know, did he get so far out there? And how do they know to cast out to the deep? Is the deep right in the middle? There's sometimes you go to lakes around here and the deep is not necessarily in the middle. It kind of gets shallow there with a little clip or something. And the deep is over this way. But they got out into this deep and he threw the net over. But Even before all of that transpired, Jesus knew that there was going to be a ton of fish caught. So much in one net, or nets as they kept pulling them up with his helpers, that it would equivalent to 2 weeks of toiling. Just like God can do it. So after that, you know, now us today, we'd go, wow, in one night we made enough for 2 weeks. We got the rest of the weeks off. We're on vacation. No, you get back out. God will do it. Oh, Jesus, I love you, Father. Launch out. We've got to trust God. Explore deeper spiritual things with him. New opportunities and things that he's going to bring your way. He's waiting. He's got opportunities. He's got up there. It's got your name on it. Your name on it. Your name. Your name. You. Each of us have something up there. He's going to pull that file drawer out. He says, okay, Tim is ready for this now. Go send it to him. You know, pick yourselves here. God's going to pull that file drawer and say, okay, they're ready. She's ready. He's ready. It's a time of learning and preparation and being content where you're at with God, but not to become complacent and not want to go further with God. We can fine line that to say, I want to be content where God has me, but I don't want to reach into the fleshly part of I'm just going to be, you know, complacent and not follow God. I'm just gonna be here doing whatever. No. Where I'm at, Lord, I believe you've sent us here. I believe you've sent them here. I believe you've got this plan. We're content where we're at, but Lord, I'm looking for more. If it's up to you, Lord. And if you've got more and it's all set up for me, Lord, prepare me, strengthen me, help me. Amen. Oh, I want to launch out into the deep. And I don't really like deep water. If I can't touch bottom, I'm out of there. I don't care if I can swim. If I want to stop and I want to stand on the bottom and keep my head above water, I don't want to have to be going. So God better grow my legs like 100 feet so I can get up. And here's the thing, guys. Launch out into the deep. This just came to me now. I could go back to our one room that's got the old thing for the well and all that. And when they put our new pump in and all the new pipes down, I've told this before, but we are sitting over like that of Lake Michigan, somewhere, well, wherever the pipe is. I don't know how far it reaches around the property. But when they put their string in, and it went 250 feet and they ran out of string and it didn't hit bottom. What does that say? I'm scared to cut the grass out there now because the earth opens up. I can't swim very good, and I certainly can't reach 250 or 300 feet deep and stand up there. But no, that's the case. So I'm thinking, when that guy told me, I went, you tell me we're on the top of like Lake Michigan? Over 250 feet deep? Where does it go? Is it 300 feet? 350? Is it 255 feet? I don't know, but they ran out of string. So now this comes to me, guys. See, this is how God starts working with me. Does he work with you? So that didn't even hit my radar until just now. So could God be saying Harvester's Church has already launched into the deep? And I've actually had the church setting on the deep. And he's going to say, now it's time to cast that net. Whatever that net is. It could be for salvation, bringing us in. I don't know. But all I know is that we're going to cast the net in your life. This whole message is to cast your net that encompasses your life to what God has. And then when he says, pull it up, see what's in it. Could it be relations mended? Could it be financial things taken care of? Could it be, God works in all of these things, our spirit, soul, and body, you know, our health. Could it be where you pull up that net and your health is better? I don't know. But I just know God is saying, guys, to launch out into the deep. See, God's word is deep. It's not a shallow word, is it? Because there's so much depth in God's word that we, you know, me and Thursdays and times I've talked with John a couple of years back now where I said I just sense that we're like to be mining, to dig deeper into the things of what God's word is, to plant your roots deeply. See, this thing has been bubbling, I guess, for 3 or 4 or 5 years now with this deep planting, launch into the deep. So I don't know what God has in store, but I know that God fulfills things that he wants. Amen. You know, a season or so back, up until then, and only at that particular time, we still every year have to have the well water tested because of the DNR being on a well. Many years, they hadn't been doing that until probably early 2000. They came around because in their records, they showed this to be a school and it was closed up. Well, they came out just verifying old records, you know, like what's going on out that property. And we got a letter in the mail stating that, whoa, it's not closed. Looks like there's a church there. We need to test your water. Of course, what happens then? You go, oh dear, here we go. What are they going to find? So right after that, we had no issues. But then again, we had a little of issue, but the issue wasn't with the water. It was because we had such old water tanks in here. I mean, that one room had like a 500-gallon water tank that was just iron and rust, right? And that was, I don't know how tall, like it would be in the ceiling there, but we were only using like this much of the water. You know, we were only filling up that much because we weren't using all of it. And I think over time, the sediments and things, it developed some kind of a microorganism thing. It wasn't dangerous and wasn't going to kill us, but it tested out for something. And so we had to flush it. We had to shock it, is what they call it. You put like ammonia and stuff in it and all that to run through the pipes and stuff. But anyway, we did that, and it came back fine after that. But in the process, then that's when we went and said, well, why don't we're going to put and take that water tank out, and we'll put in a smaller tank that will just fill what we need. And I tell you what, how long, Dan, has it been since they replaced that pump that's pumping the well out? Well, I don't know. It's probably the original pump that was here back in 1960. So I thought, well, let's go ahead and update that and relined it and all that. But so we did some updating of the systems. And after that, we had no problems. But here's the thing that I find as we think about the springs of living water and all, that it is amazing when the DNR pulls our water out of here and it tests for nitrates and something else. And the nitrates we have out here, it's like 0.0001. And they find it surprising because of all the fields and fertilizers, you would think that would get into your system. And that's what they find in a lot of wells in the country is because of the farmers and the runoffs that the wells become contaminated with nitrates and things of that nature, things of the cows or whatever. But all this time, it's just like, I get that report and it's like, well, there's nitrates, there's nothing. I mean, it's so far out, it's like thousands and thousands of parts. And something else that they test for has never been there. But that, I think that is that, you know, we think of God's word and we think of God and the well and the water and the water's deep under us and it's a purity of the water that our water is pretty pure for that of the water of God. Amen? So we can tie a lot of things together on how God blesses us and how this is truly that of God, how he protects these things. So as we get back to launching into the deep, right, exploring deeper spiritual life opportunities, it results in a profound spiritual growth and rewards for us. God wants to bless us. God wants to reward you for your faithfulness. He wants to reward you for hearing him and following him and obeying him. It often symbolized by that of a miraculous catch of fish is what happened there. What's your catch going to be this year? Only God knows. But it's about, yeah, sometimes you got to take a risk, right? Because God is by living by faith. It's like, it ain't guaranteed. Well, it is if God says it. Amen. If God says it, it's going to happen. But we got to rely upon God's guidance and to go beyond our ordinary efforts. So here are some things as we can't go into it because I want to look at some important things that we glean from this. And then we want to look at how do I launch out into the deep. And so we will kind of look at that next week. But yeah, I think maybe right now there's enough food for thought. You need to go home. You need to ponder these things. Get with God. Look forward to an exciting 2026. There's going to be newness. Could be revitalizing things that were dead, but they're going to be regrowing and coming alive in your life, in your situation. I don't know what it all is and means, and I don't know where it all takes us all, but I just know that my God has a plan. And he has not forsaken us. I know the children of Israel always complain, "You brought us this far to die." I would have said, "Why didn't you just keep me with Walmart?" But I did tell them after I went in after several years, they said, "Tim, you're looking really good." I go, "I think when I left Walmart, I added 20 years to my life." Because of the stress and the things of going and moving. I mean, anything in retail, you're like 6 months ahead of everybody else. So I said, "Yeah, I feel great." I said, "I think I've added years to my life stepping away from this and going to serve God." I could paraphrase it and all and maybe get it fairly close, but I just love to read it in the black and white. Pivotal thing in God's word that has placed me where I'm at. 29:11 in Jeremiah. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, Tim, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you, Tim, a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me, Tim, and go pray to me, Tim, and I will listen to you. And Tim, you need to seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." That's not just for Tim. It's for all of us. When we serve God and we get into his court, I'm going to tell you, folks, when he told me that he has the thoughts that he thinks towards me, he knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. We read it in Psalms. Before I even walked out this life, he already knew my path and my steps and where I was going. But he has that thought, peace. God has peace that he thinks about you. He's not thinking evil. He's not thinking horrendous things. He's not thinking of uprisings and anxieties and pressures and stressors and nothing like that. God is not a God of that. That is of the enemy, the devil. Because all of those things kill you. Where he says, "I have thoughts of peace for you and not of evil to give you a future." If you are under anxiety and stress and pressure, your future is short. Chances are you'll pick up some kind of disease, have a heart attack or something. I don't know. But it's these things. But I've got to seek him. "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." When I read that, that's where it started with me and my God. It's like, "I need to follow you, God. And it can't be piecemeal. I got to get in the boat. I got to get off of the shore. I got to be listening to you, God. And when you say, row that way, I need to row that way. If you say, go that way, I need to go that way. But what about if I'm in a wave and everything's rocking my boat?" In the story of that, of Peter, Jesus is in your boat, it'll calm down. And if he needs to get you out of your boat, he will say, "Come to me." And you will walk on top of this water, Tim. You don't have to worry about having legs to reach to the bottom. But I don't want to take my eyes off of him and then I will begin to sink. But even then, if I sink, he was there to reach out. There's some more learning you got to do. He didn't leave me out there to dry, high and dry. He didn't leave me out there to drown. He will not leave you out there to drown in 2026. Please launch out into the deep with him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your day here, and we thank you for your word. I thank you, Father. I believe it's a word for all of us today. And I don't know, Lord, how they've received it, Lord, and what it's going to do in their spirit. But I know, Lord, you will take it, and I pray you will allow it to marinate within their spirit, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that they receive what they need to receive from it. And it's not, I don't want to just be a cheerleader and just waving pom-poms around and getting an excitement of 2026, Lord. I want to instill in us today to launch out with you like the story told back in Luke. But we're not fishing, Lord. We're doing other things. Could be that efficient for men, for sure, and salvations. But I don't know. Totally for all of us. But Lord, I look forward to this year fulfilling even greater things with you in my life. Father, I look to what the church is going to be about and the people that make up this church, Lord. Strengthen them, guide them, love on them, give them peace. I pray healing and strength physically in all of our bodies, Lord. We need to be strong, Lord, to serve you in these days ahead. Lord, thank you for meeting our needs spiritually, financially, and health-wise. Keep our family members as well safe and protected. We thank you, Lord. We look forward to the days ahead. Bless each one, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.